Welcome to MaxQ, an interview podcast from Peabody's Launchpad office. This is a special release outside of our normal interviews with recent Peabody alumni. To engage with the current dramatic changes in our world, Launchpad director Dr. Zane Forshee is interviewing distinguished professionals in our field about the impact of COVID-19 on students and the performing arts. In this interview, Dr. Forshee speaks with Dana Bella, professor and chair of Peabody's dance department.
Dana, thanks so much for being here today. Welcome to MaxQ.
Thank you, Zane. I appreciate it. I'm more than happy to be a part of this.
Well, you know, one of the first questions I have for everyone that I'm talking to right now is, how have you been spending your time the last few weeks? What's that look like for you?
Well, a lot of it is, I feel like a lot of it's on the computer. I think I'm on Zoom. It feels like I'm on Zoom 24 hours a day. I mean, I know that I'm not, but it does feel that way. So I'm doing a lot of that, a lot of planning or attempting to plan for fall 2020. And then lots of family time, making sure I take breaks, spending time outside if I can.
Sure. Another big question I've been thinking about is, and this you may not have an answer for, but it's just something I think about right now in the middle of this is, as an artist, what do you see as the role of as the artist in the middle of a world crisis like this right now?
I think for dance specifically, you know, the dance community has been amazing. Like ever since classes, people started finding out that all these classes had to go online. The community just sort of like came together, started offering all these classes online for free or via donation, which was amazing. And I think what they did was they kind of gave everyone this gift to be able to move, which I think at the moment we weren't thinking that when it was happening, I don't think we were thinking that we were going to be in this place where we're sheltering in place for so long and having to move in such a limited way. So I think one of the roles as a dance artist is to just give people the opportunity to move and to feel these things in a different way. You know, there's a lot of sort of improv classes and creative dance classes that are happening where people can sort of deal with, you know, the frustration or the anxiety or whatever it is and sort of release it through movement, especially if they can't do it any other way or don't know how to do it any other way.
Have you had any friends or colleagues or experiences yourself kind of starting these up where they've been something maybe outside of an academic institution where you've seen these take off?
Yes, I have friends. Actually, I have this friend. Actually, you know, John Strongs. He's a Houston-based dance artist, and he actually has been teaching this jazz class. He does a jazz class on Saturdays in Houston. And from what I understand, it's the longest-running jazz class in Houston, and it started in the 70s, and they have never missed it except for holidays. And so he felt it was really, really important that they continue it. So immediately he started offering that class on Saturdays. But because now that it's online, he opened it up to everyone. So a lot of our students have been taking it. I've taken it a few times, and it's really sort of fascinating to know that you're taking class with some of the dancers who are in the class that come every Saturday. They've been taking it for 20 years. To know that now suddenly you're a part of this history and this community in this location that you maybe have never even been to. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I asked that also because I follow him, as you know, on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I love seeing on Saturday afternoon all the posts of all these people from the class. Mm-hmm. It's been really beautiful to see that emerge. And something that from my side of the house as a musician, it was just so interesting to see and witness and go, oh, this is such a unique way of being able to work together alone, mm-hmm. which is really fascinating.
You know, it's funny you say that because there's actually a website that someone posted really quickly once people started moving classes online. It's actually called Dancing Together Alone.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll make sure that gets in the show notes because
it lists all sorts of dance classes that are free that this person knows of. So basically all you have to do is email the person who's in charge of the website, and then he or she just adds it to the list. And there's actually people who are doing weekly classes. It's pretty amazing. I mean, like right now, like the students, everyone have an opportunity to take class with these people you wouldn't normally be able to take class from. I mean, there's teachers in Europe that I'm asking my students to take class from, which they wouldn't be able to do necessarily because they maybe can't get there. Or, you know, these professional dancers who know from like the Graham Company or from the Lomon Company who normally aren't teaching are now teaching as part of that company's response to this. And they're able to take those classes. Or, for instance, one of the things that a lot of the dancers are interested in is Gaga. And they've opened up a lot of, you know, that practice usually is a closed practice, but in response to this, they've sort of opened it up. And now you can take a Gaga class any day of the week. And you can take it from people who, there's not a lot of people who teach it. You know, you have to get certified to teach it. There's very few who teach it in the States. A lot of people who teach it abroad. And so you can take a class from somebody in Israel if you wanted to. Yeah, it's been pretty amazing the response the community has had. I'm really impressed by it.
And what are some of the things that you think are important for students to think about? Because they can't train together. They can't be in the circumstances that they're used to working in. What are some of the things that are really important for them to focus on? While it is, we know this isn't forever, but it's going to be here for a while. What are some of the things that you think are really important for the students to be focusing on that they can control and where to put their energy right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think considering all of the sort of different dance classes and different genres of dance that are open to them right now that they have the opportunity to sort of take a class in, I think it's important for them to sort of to take as many different classes, not what they're used to, you know, take as many different classes as they possibly can, even if they can't do it full out, just to sort of, I mean, because you can watch it and still kind of experience the movement to see, you know, sort of what's happening in Spain. What kind of modern dance is sort of the it thing in Spain now? Because it's different than what it is here. Or, you know, what's happening in Asia? What is that modern dance company in China doing? You know, and then, you know, so just sort of being open-minded and experiencing those classes, but then also looking at a lot of choreography. That's the other thing that's happening is a lot of companies are opening up their video, their footage of performances and allowing people to see them live, not live, but for free online. Where normally, yes. Yeah, so like, you know, if there's companies you go to in New York and normally you'd pay, you know, $50 a ticket, $60 a ticket. You want good seats, $100-something a ticket, right? And now they're streaming some of those pieces live. I mean, not live, free. Or by donation, right? So you could go and watch this timely classic by Lomon for $1 if that's all you can afford at the moment, which is amazing. So I think they need to watch, do a lot of watching of different types of work, the work that's happening here, the work that's happening in Europe, the work, you know, the work that's happening on different continents, because it's not the same. And then as a choreographer, sort of looking at those and seeing what the nuances are and what do you like, what you don't like, right? And then as a dancer, just also seeing that, seeing what the possibilities are physically and then seeing, oh God, I really like that choreographer. Maybe I should take their class. What do they do? What kind of technique do they do? And then try to take a class in that technique. I think exploring, there's so many things they can do in terms of discovery right now in regard to that. Additionally, I think they need to sort of learn how they need to create sort of a maintenance schedule in terms of their body. You know, they need to really be mindful and learn when enough is enough, when really listen when they have to take a break, because it's different now. You know, right now, maybe it's only two classes you can take because the floor you're dancing on is so hard. Or else, you know, or what happens is your knees are hurting, your back is hurting, or maybe you can't take class every day, but to kind of know what that is and to be okay with that, you know, because especially like our dancers, they're used to dancing, I don't know, 8 to 10 hours a day and they're not, but now they're dancing, you know, they're not as many, but as many hours, but then their knees are hurting now, you know, because they're dancing on concrete. So sort of, you know, understanding what that schedule is, but then also other maintenance things, like what can you do to keep your body strong that isn't dancing? You know, what does your body need? Like in 3 days, like, do you need to work on your core? Do you need to work on your flexibility? Do you need to work, you know, what are the things that your body needs the most in this time where you can't do the movement full out? They, you know, and unfortunately we can't tell them that. They have to discover that themselves. So they need to do that work and then learn how to maintain. Because, you know, when you leave and you're a professional dancer, you don't necessarily get to take class anymore And you literally go from working your job, maybe you get in the train or the car and you're at the theater. You know, and so you just have to learn how to maintain how, and then how do you warm up? Like, you know, for them also, how do you warm up before this class you're going to take? Because they do have to do probably a warm up beforehand because they've probably been sitting down or barely walking or around or whatever it is prior to the class. So those sort of, I think it's a great a way to learn how to be a professional in the field because of all those things you have to do. Plus the time management is another thing, you know, because now that, at least for the Peabody students, because now all the classes are online, you know, like when they're at Peabody, okay, yeah, you know, my friend's going to class now, so now I know I have to go to class, you know, or it's all over the place. You know, there's signs when you know you have to go to class, so you go, right? And it's part, you know, and it's part of your biological clock because when you're there, you know, it all makes, you know, you just feel it. Whereas when you're home or doing something else, suddenly, oh, that's right, I have class at 2 o'clock, but I'm just watching TV, you know? So how do you, you know, it's made them a little more responsible in regard to that. And I think that was a huge shift for a lot of them because they were, you know, they were sort of on, you know, like remote, right? They were just kind of, or not remote, but they were like robots just walking around campus. I go here, then I go here, then I go here. And I sit there for a while, then I go here, you know, and now there's other things that are kind of distracting or you're really comfortable on the couch or you really want to watch that movie, you know? So it's just, so, you know, it's a little different, but I think that those time management skills are really important because, you know, as you know, you become a professional and then you do, you have to figure it out. Okay, well, I have to make sure I have that 45 minutes to travel from here to here, or I know I can only work on my car from here to here, or I'm going to be late for work, or, you know, those kinds of things. So right. I think that's a good, it's a good lesson for them.
Yeah. I mean, so kind of what I'm hearing as we talk through this is that the first opportunity is real artistic exploration in mm-hmm. terms of research and seeing what's out there. Mm-hmm. And you have, in a sense, new access to yeah. things if you're thoughtful about it.
Yes. Or
proactive.
Yeah.
The second is really figuring out what you need to do in your circumstances so that you can work effectively physically mm-hmm. to keep, in a sense, each person's house in order.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And then the third is really time management, which is, I've got to tell you, I'm smiling about this because this is almost the identical thing that I heard in a very different way from Sean Jones last week.
Okay.
When we were talking of just like time management. Mm-hmm. And for him, the thing was, you stayed up all night watching Adult Swim. And but, right. I think it's so true though that this is what it's like, that there is no, and knowing how the time that one needs to be ready, not just getting there, but like ready to go when you're there or whatever right. there is.
Yeah. And sometimes you have to do that work while you're on the train or while you're on the bus or while you're walking. You know, you have to figure out a way, like mentally, you have sometimes have to do that work because you don't have time when, you know, like right now it's a luxury, you know, when we, especially at Peabody when we perform, because we're in the theater for so many days beforehand, a lot of time you don't have that, you know, you walk in, your tech is 20 minutes before you go on or something, you know, so, you know, you don't always have that time and they're lucky that they have that time now. But yeah, it's a skill, I think, to learn how to do that.
What do you, as we were talking about, like the changes you're seeing right now, and you touched on this, you alluded to it a little bit with what you're thinking about in the fall and in January. Like, do you have any ideas or thoughts about how the arts are going to change as a result of this? Like, what do you see are some of the things that are going to shift or be explored? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or responses. I mean, you touched on, yeah, I mean, audiences are definitely going to feel probably different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, audiences are going to feel different. I mean, I think, like I said, you know, there'll be probably a lot more virtual festivals. I actually attended a virtual festival this weekend. It was literally the entire weekend. I didn't go to the whole thing, but, you know, if you were there, you would have been sort of immersed in this thing for – the entire weekend. And so they actually attempted to do that. But I realized as you're doing it or being a part of that, you know, with Zoom, you can only be on for so long before you begin to sort of lose it, no matter what it is, whether it is something that you're really interested in or not. So I realized that, you know, people will probably end up doing festivals and workshops, all these things online like that. But to realize that it can't be all day, you know, like a workshop that's usually 9 to 6, you can't have that. It maybe has to be, you know, 10 to 2, you know, with a lot of breaks in between, or else you're going to lose stamina.
Sure.
So I think there'll be lots of workshops online, festivals online, but of course, again, the time of them changing. So it might not be as immersive as it was, because you just don't have physically, mentally have the capacity to do that because of Zoom, literally. That. And then I think even if we go back, you know, one thing that I'm looking at is, you know, for the rest of this semester, we actually did a Zoom master class series. And it's been actually really great, you know, to have some people come in, teach class. It's been really wonderful, actually. And I'm thinking that when we come back, even if we're in the studio, that maybe still continuing a Zoom masterclass series where it's just the you know, we're in the studio dancing, so they can dance and feel like dancers, but the master teacher will be visiting us through Zoom, right? Because I think that we can bring in a lot more people that way, and I possibly could get people who I wouldn't be able to otherwise to come in and teach some classes. So that's something I know that we're definitely going to explore when we return, even after all of the online stuff is done.
Sure. Yeah. That you can actually get, you can reach more people in a sense, mm-hmm. and be together with one person. If you're together as a group,
right.
bringing in this one person to really right. respond. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It can be a really powerful tool.
Yeah. Or even, amazing how you could, like, the other day, I taught a masterclass the other day, and one of the people in the masterclass was in Hong Kong. So the fact that the master teacher could be in, you know, Hong Kong and a whole other continent, but still teaching all of them, you know, I think that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Right? It's something to say, you know, that's one, like, plus about all of the technology, I think, and figuring all this out.
I agree with you. I think you could do some really interesting and exciting things. I mean,
yes.
I even wonder what it would be like for, like, to have, like, a group of people in a space, and then that person that's, like, in Hong Kong creating a piece with them. Like, I mean, has that kind of work even been explored yet? I mean, I just wonder. So,
well, I have a friend right now. I mean, this person's on another continent, but, you know, he's based in LA and his company's based in New York, and they're still rehearsing. So they're, I mean,
it's happening.
It's slightly different, but I think people are really are really exploring it.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. All right. So here's my toughest question for you. If you were a student, knowing what you know now, how would you approach positioning yourself during this time? What are the possible opportunities you see for artists, and what would you be focusing on? We touched a little bit on this in terms of, like, the three things we touched on earlier of like exploring and knowing your limits and your circumstances, and then really thinking about time management. Are there other things that you would kind of suggest?
Yeah. I mean, you know, especially right now, since they have a little bit of time, really sort of getting their portfolio together, their resumes, their website, you know, so that when they get back into classes, when they're so busy, all they have to do is feed it rather than start new.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that I would definitely do, and sort of explore all these different, you know, sort of video editing or photo editing, because you might have to do that yourself. So taking the time to learn those software programs or applications, you know, just play with them. Maybe you don't post them, but you have the time to play with them to see what your aesthetic is. Because that's the other thing I think they're trying to figure out is what is their aesthetic? What kind of dancer am I? What kind of, you know, what do I like to do? So I think this is also a time to do that. And with that in mind, again, sort of exploring and seeing what the different types of, what different types of movement or choreography is happening right now. And then if they're interested in choreography, just playing, they have lots of time to play. We have a student right now who is art history minor and a BFA dance major. And she's been creating art through her choreography. So essentially she has, paint on her feet or her hands. I'm not quite sure, but she has paint on her body and she's doing the choreography. You know, it's a confined space on this, you know, canvas or paper, whatever the media, you know, whatever that is. And she creates the painting with the choreography that she's doing. And it could be just an improv solo for a minute or so. So finding things like that, discovering those kinds of things. I mean, I think when you have the time, you know, to keep your mind going, to keep it interesting, to do that. And then at the same time, though, I think right now, especially if you don't want to do anything, don't do it. If you just want to sit down and watch TV, then just sit down and watch TV. I think you have to honor that too. I think you have to honor where you are at this moment. Like I was just telling you how I feel like I was going through a mourning period, and I still think I'm going through a mourning period. I mean, if I'm perfectly honest, when all of these classes first started, I was so excited about it, but I was not about to get up and do it. I had no interest in doing any of it. And I still kind of am in that place. I mean, now that our master class series has started, I'm now taking class with those teachers. So I'm a little bit better, you know, I'm feeling better about it, but I was really just mourning for quite some time.
Sure. Yeah.
But so I think it's okay. I think it's okay too, to not do this because all of that will just inform your choices later. Or it just makes you realize what's important, right? You know, for some people, it's always about the art. For some people, they realize, well, I really need to take care of my family, you know, or for some people, it's like, I want to be able to have free time. So how do I do this thing that I want to do, but still have free time?
What are some strategies you're thinking about for your students so that they can stay motivated artistically? I mean, we talked about exploring, which mm-hmm. and research, but as they're thinking about like getting into, when we're heading into the end of the school year, we're heading into summer, like what are some of the things that you think students can do to kind of help keep themselves moving forward when things can feel at the present? I don't know if it feels like this for you. Do you know that time between like right before New Year's where it just seems like kind of like a time no man's land?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I think the other way this time has been explained to me is like, if you've ever seen the movie Groundhog Day,
mm-hmm.
So you can just kind of like go into this sort of nebulous floating thing, which, and if that's where you are, you can, mm-hmm. but what are some of the things that you would kind of think about in terms of motivation so that they can still keep moving forward artistically?
Mm-hmm. Gosh, you know, because now that everything's so open and there's so many things available to you, that if they don't want to do, they don't want to do all kinds of research, maybe just exploring one thing and like becoming an expert at that. You know, maybe finding one thing to sort of really, really focus on. Or maybe it's like a certification, maybe doing it, you know, I was talking about maintaining, right? Learning how to keep your body strong during this time. So maybe someone does a Pilates certification, because not only will they be able to get those skills, but then now they can teach. And now they can make money online teaching, right? Or when they leave, right, they can get a job very easily outside of dance. So maybe like a, you know, some type of certification like that, if they're really interested in figuring out how to maintain their body physically in that way. I think just really focusing, like, you know, if you really want to do a certain type of movement, like say you really want to do Gaga, just doing that every day, learning the history, right? Where does it come from? Why is it like that? You know, so that you understand it, you understand the choices that people make. Yeah.
Yeah. So then instead of going wide, you go like really deep into one thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it could get a little too big, right? And then you feel overwhelmed. So maybe narrow, or maybe there's three, pick three things. One of them you really, really focus on. I mean, even for myself, I'm thinking of getting certified in something just so that I can keep, because I'm sort of afraid that after this is over, I'm going to be like, I don't want to do any more, nothing. No more online classes, no more, you know, anything. So I've already told myself that maybe I should, you know, get certified in Pilates or do another yoga certification or something online so that I keep growing, or I continue to learn, or so that I just don't stop. Because I can see myself stopping and just hanging out. Not bad either.
No, not bad either.
Not bad either. But I think I need to do something.
Okay. That's great. That's great advice. Okay. Those last two. These are what I call comfort food. What are you listening to right now? What are you kind of getting into just for like that? Just, is there anything you're listening to right now that just makes you like feel good or have that sort of sense of like, ah, like, have you had any, like an album or like, is there a video or is there something that you're into lately?
Yeah. The thing that I keep playing on, so I have to look it up. Just playlists on Spotify that I keep playing that I love. Let me bring it up. But I love it so much, I don't remember what it's called. It's called Lo-Fi Beats, L-O-F-I, then Beats. And the tagline underneath it is Beats to Relax and Focus.
Okay. I've
been playing that a lot, just to, especially when I'm working, you know, it's kind of nice. And then, and then there's this one song that I've been listening to over and over for, even before the semester ended, just like, or not ended, but since the end of fall, that I absolutely love. It just makes me so happy. It's called Hold On by Yuna. Actually, it's called Hold On. It's actually a Drake song.
Oh, okay.
We're Going Home. But it's a cover, and it's by Yuna, Y-U-N-A. Oh, and then, sorry, one other person that I've been listening to also is Anderson .Paak. P-A-A-K. He is a rapper from my hometown.
Really? Okay, cool.
Yeah, he even has like his albums. He has an album called, Ventura, which is where I live. And he has an album called Oxnard, which is where I first lived. He's just from that area. So.
Okay, excellent. I'll make sure we get those in the show notes. Okay. This is my last one. Are there any books or films or writings that you've found particularly inspiring during all of this?
Not so much books. I mean, the books that I've been reading right now are books that I'm reading with my son, you know, where we've been doing a lot of just reading together. Right now we're reading Mercy, which is, we've had to take a break because the last chapter was very difficult for him. But that, and then, so not really too many books, but movies. So I've been really watching a lot of just comedies, I hate to admit it, like romantic comedies, just fluff, like super, super fluff. So my son, he's really into WWE right now. So we watched Nacho Libre the other day. So, you know, just kind of movies that I don't have to think, that I can just sit and laugh at because either it's so cheesy or it's kind of, you know, just, it just, you know, just those kinds of things.
I love it.
Yeah.
Right.
Lots of lighthearted things at the moment.
That sounds perfect to me. Well, Dana, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Theme music for the Max Hugh podcast composed by Vincent Fasano.